Okay. Hey.
Catch a vibe. We're gonna get you to the other side. Going you way back to the time. Reminisce and relax your mind. And catch a vibe.
Catch a vibe like a throwback. You with the bridge, about to turn it up. Picture perfect, no Kodak. And ain't no holdbacks. We getting real, getting raunchy. We bridge millennials, baby. We keep it saucy.
Happy New Year, Glitch homies. We are back. It's a brand new year, 2023. We're feeling good. And if you're just joining us, the Bridge Millennial Podcast is the shared perspective of the Bridge Millennial generation on culture, media, mental health, and society. And today we have our first Glitch homie on as a guest. Welcome back, Miss Owade K. How you feeling?
Hey y'all, happy new year. I'm feeling great, feeling blessed, feeling ready to go.
And you already know we got Big Rob in the building. What's up, Rob?
I'm out here in these 2023 streets ready to shut it the fuck down.
First of all, you bleeped your own self and I cannot, okay? In 2023, we grown. We cussing. Big cuss words. But we have a great show for you today. I'm so, so excited because we're going to get an astrological report from Owade K, aka The Crystal Advocate, okay? Follow her on Instagram at The Crystal Advocate for all of your astrological reports. And we have something special for you today, homies. We are switching it up. It's a new year, 2023, and we're going to kind of switch the show segments up for you. We got the same segments, so don't panic, but we're going to switch up the flow, and I feel like it's going to flow a little bit better because in 2023, we're all about flow, okay? You know, our motto is definitely giving, what's our motto? Yes to goals and no to expectations. All right. How you feeling? How you feeling, Rob?
That's our motto. Where we get that motto from?
First of all, Rob, that was on the last episode and you are the one who was like, oh, I like that. Yes, I like that.
I do kind of like it. That's why I was like, where we get that from?
We got that from the last episode. All right. And so I kind of took that and I'm like, let's let that be the mantra because we want to set goals, but we also want to be open to what the universe has for us. So we don't want too many expectations.
I like that. I'm feeling good. I had a really good new year. Very relaxed, very focused, did a lot of meditation, cleared that energy out. And yeah, I'm in a really good place. How was your new year?
Of course, I brought in the new year dancing, doing what I love best. Owade was there, she could tell you, but we partied. We killed it. I mean, we left no crumbs. All right, no crumbs were left. We left our hearts on the stage and it was really fun. It was at our job where we do a little bit of theater. We do a little bit of burlesque. And if you haven't been to Sax, what are you doing? Owade, how about you? How was your New Year experience?
I had a bomb. It was thebomb.com. And I had a great time. I also was dancing up there with Shannon. And, it was really good to do something I wanted to do instead of, you know, maybe going to somewhere out of obligation. It was really good to just dance, be around good energy, and not feel stressed going into the new year. So I feel like we're slowly rolling in. So I'm feeling good.
And I remember, actually you said this last year, but this is the middle of the winter. The animals are still hibernating. So even though it's a new calendar year for us, remember that this is still a season of hibernation. Am I right?
Very much so. When we get into the astrological report, we'll talk about how basically the first 3 weeks of January is sleep time. So
thank you.
Big facts, because let me tell you what I did yesterday. She slept and it felt really, really good. And I did hang out with a friend, but they also were sleeping and we had to push it back, because the sleep just felt necessary. And this year I'm all about listening to my body. We're going to get into that a little bit later when it comes to relationships and dating as well. But first we're going to swing it to Rob because our first segment is the way back.
What we gonna do right here is go back. Way back. Back into time.
Hey, so I'm hype as hell about today's way back. In true bridge fashion, I felt the need to kick off the year with a game of one has to go.
Ooh, I like this game. I like this game.
So this is going to be our one has to go high school slash junior high school edition. I'm going to be bringing up some options in the category of music, snacks, hairstyles, movies, and TV. All right.
You ready to argue?
Let's argue. Let's make it happen. Starting off with music, one has to go Bow Wow or Little Romeo?
Little Romeo.
Bye, Romeo. I'm sorry.
Y'all just kicking Romeo out.
Romeo was cute. Romeo was cute, but he obviously didn't have the hits or the longevity that Mr. Shad Moss had. So, next.
Screaming. Little Soldiers
no,
need
love,
too.
We love grown Little Romeo,
Little
too.
Little Soldiers need love, we love too.
We love Romeo calling out his daddy for asking about the peso. So, we like that.
Oh
yeah, because if y'all aren't hip, Romeo, little sidebar, Romeo has been calling out Percy Miller on Instagram and I guess Twitter, probably all the social media outlets, and basically saying that like he used him for, you know, money as a child and he never received any of the money from any of the hits that he made, any of the songs, any of the tours, performances. His father kept all that money. And he kind of aired out, you know, the fact that a lot of the things that his father had been putting out there on social media were for show. And it seems like a lot of child stars are calling out their, you know, parents, their legal guardians, a lot of their mentors for some of the things that really fucked them up in childhood. And I'm 100% here for it. Speak your truth, okay?
I mean, it is what it is. You can't just be out here using people like that, so... I don't know why people do that. Like, they're not going to eventually grow up. Like, these kids are going to eventually grow up.
Well, I think as parents, and this is why we talked about this on an earlier episode this season, I think it was our first episode, it's really hard for a lot of the culture around parenting to change. A lot of parents feel like no matter what, no matter how old their child gets, something like this, like calling them out for something like this, is deemed disrespectful. It's deemed ungrateful. And so for years, I think in our culture, as millennials are trying to create boundaries with their parents, it's really hard because a lot of them don't feel like parents have boundaries with their children. And that is something that I'm struggling with right now. The boundaries, because as a fully actualized and realized adult, I do have boundaries, and it's hard. And I don't know if this is I feel like it's a Black culture thing. But I feel like it's hard for parents to let go of their child in that way and be able to have an adult to adult conversation is something that like seems to be a constant struggle. So.
Okay. I could definitely respect that. I hope that whatever Little Romeo is old, that they do pull up and give him his money. Let's move on to our next option. Of these three, one has to go. Monica, Brandy, or Maya?
Now, you know you ain't shit for
that. That was shady.
But I'm going to definitely have to go. It's an easy choice for me because number one, Monica has to go. The vocal Bible is not going anywhere, and neither is my boss and, you know, just an amazing person, Maya. The world needs her. And this one, not to say the world doesn't need Monica, but I'm just saying, you know.
Monica has so gone. Like, let's just be honest. And that was it.
No, absolutely not. We are not. Absolutely not. We're not doing that. We are not.
Monica has hits.
Pack it up. We are not doing that. What we will not do.
I need to go on Spotify.
Like that. Absolutely not. Absolutely.
Well, what's your answer, Rob? Because you conveniently haven't answered yet.
I wasn't asked the question, but
that's not how this works. You didn't answer the first one either.
If I had to pick, I would definitely keep Monica.
First of all,
yeah, Brandy would have to
before you even you said Brandy would have to go.
Brandy would have to go. I mean, I respect her, but she didn't do much for me. Monica did more for me musically. Personally. Maya did more for music for me personally through music. Brandy did a lot for some people, but if I had to get one of them, get rid of one of them, got to be Brandy. Love her to death, but her music didn't really resonate with me like Maya and Monica did.
And that's your prerogative. I will say that from a singer's perspective, I believe that Brandy's music resonated with me. Her voice is unmatched. Same thing with Maya, but Maya hit me with from the dance perspective. So as a dancer, I can't get rid of Maya because it was my dream to grow up and dance for Maya. Like, I know people's like, oh, I want to dance for Beyonce. But like, to be honest, that really wasn't my generation. Like, yes, I wanted to, you know what I mean? But before I wanted to dance for Beyonce, Maya was the person. So can't get rid of her either. So, I mean, I respect your decision. Robert.
All right, cool. Let's move on to the next option. We got Tupac, Nas, or Biggie. One has to go.
Nas.
Nas has to go.
I'm a Khalees stan. Sorry.
As am I.
Nas gotta go.
But also Nas's music, I can really think of like maybe one Nas song that resonated with me. And I know lots of Biggie and Tupac lyrics. So, I mean, it's just kind of a no-brainer.
Actually,
what about you, Rob?
I think I was thinking Nas, but actually Tupac kind of has to go. I know that Tupac has done a lot musically, but I didn't really dive into his stuff until much older, and I still haven't really completely dived into it. So, and maybe it's just my New Yorker bias, but gotta keep Nas and Biggie. Let's jump into snacks. Hoo-hoo! Sprite or Mountain Dew?
Sprite.
Has to go.
Oh, Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew has
Thank
to go.
You.
Mountain Dew. First of all, hold on, wait a minute. You gonna give us time, Robert, you gonna give us time to debate these topics. But moving forward, I don't think this one requires a debate. Mountain Dew has to go.
Oh, Wade, you almost slipped up.
I was like kind of like, wait, what? Like Sprite.
The next one is cheese doodles, Lay's, or Doritos. I know.
This is my favorite food other than tacos and chicken is chips and this type of snack.
I guess my question would be, is this like high school Shannon answering this or is this grown Shannon answering this? Because those would be two different answers because I don't eat any of the above anymore.
Well, one real. Has to go, meaning that one never existed. So like is the cheese doodles from like, all of time.
Cheese doodles gotta go. Cheese doodles gotta go. Like Cheetos kinda?
Yeah.
Damn, even though hot Cheetos was that shit.
They were.
Wait, you said cheese doodles, Lay's, or what?
Doritos.
Bitch.
Y'all know the Lay's gotta go. Stop playing. Come on.
No, because Lay's has lots of different like.
Yeah, Lay's hits flavors. With a sandwich.
Lay's has was the first people to
you
do.
Actually, right, it is good with a sandwich.
Lay's has a whole bunch of custom flavors. Like, I actually watched a show. This is a sidebar, but I watched a show that I can't remember what it was called, but they had to recreate like famous snacks. That was like one of the things that they had to do in every challenge. And apparently, recreating how they put these flavors on Lay's is like a really hard process, and it's like secret, like nobody knows how Lay's does it, like nobody knows how Lay's gets like, you know, I don't know, these obscure chip flavors, whatever they may be, whether it's, you know, a Reuben sandwich or whatever. Nobody knows technically how they get the shit on the chip with that, especially without the chip looking like it has a lot of seasoning on it. So it's kind of like this secret. So Lay's got to stay because Lay's, they got the keys. So I would definitely say, and look, you look not convinced, Rob, but I'm trying to tell you they're doing some magic over there. So I'm going to definitely have to say cheese doodles have to go. Cheese doodles have to go. I could have lived without hot Cheetos, the shit on my fingers. Yes, it was cultural, but it was not good for me. So yeah.
Awade, what did you say? What'd you kick out?
I kicked out the cheese doodles too.
All right, got you. The next one, Starburst or Skittles?
Skittles gotta go.
Jinx.
Even the sour Skittles too.
The sour Skittles were good, but like you can't beat the juiciness of Starburst, which the juice is actually spit in your mouth, which is kind of the crazy thing. However, still, it incites so much juice. It's a pleasant experience.
Yeah, I would have to get rid of Starburst because of that exact reason. I used to love Starburst until I had a friend that was describing it as juicy. And I never thought of candy being juicy. And from that point forward, it was just like, there's no juice in the candy. So it started messing with me like, and it's bad because I was serious about the pink Starbucks. And remember when they came out with the all pink pack? Come on. But yeah, I had to let that go. And then I found my life in Skittles. So I like the shell exterior.
Interesting.
I like the crunch of the candy shell.
Yeah, I think that they're a little too sweet. That's like, you know, it's like, yeah, Skittles. But Skittles for me feels like you're really eating candy. Like you're really fucking some shit up, whether it's your teeth, your stomach. That's what it's giving those vibes. But okay, what's next?
Cool. All right. Last on the snacks list is Nerds or Pop Rocks. There is a correct answer, just to let y'all know. Nerds or Pop Rocks.
Don't hate me, but they can both get thrown out for me. I don't like any candy that I have to like crunch on or like chew. Yes, it's a no for me.
But if
I had to, I guess the Pop Rocks.
How do you consume?
Like, I don't know, like lollipop, I would like suck on lollipop.
Oh, got you.
Yeah.
That's tough. I'm definitely going to have to say, you know, I feel like from a science standpoint, I would say the Pop Rocks need to stay because scientifically they're like a phenomenon, but we really wasn't eating Pop Rocks every day. But Nerds was a candy that we were eating often. So it seems like Nerds had more effect on the culture, but Pop Rocks had more of an effect on the world. And you know, you got experiments where people do Pop Rocks and soda and they make it explode and shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? People put Pop Rocks in their mouth and like, you know, perform fellatio or, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's like a thing, like putting Pop Rocks in your mouth and performing fellatio. So I'm like, ooh, it's a tough one. And I've never tried that, but like I want to give it a try now. So damn.
As you should.
What are we gonna get? So now I'm feeling inclined to say I have to get rid of Nerds. So Nerds gotta go.
Okay, dope. Hairstyles.
Wait, you said there was a wrong answer. Which one do you have to get rid of?
Pop Rocks has to stay. That's just the bottom line. For reasons that you described, I experienced my first intimate Pop Rocks experience and I never fuck Nerds.
First of all, you said I was muted because I was chuckling over here. My first intimate Pop Rocks experience. Like, I really think that should be the title of the episode.
My first intimate,
honestly,
Pop Rocks experience, as well as my first intimate, what do you call it? Like the ice pops? Like Icy's, the ones on a stick, what are they called?
Popsicles.
Popsicle experience, yeah.
Oh, that's lit. Now, we definitely done the popsicle. We've definitely done the ice. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to, where do you even get Pop Rocks anymore?
You probably got to get them on the internet. Because even when we was growing up, they weren't like readily available. They were like a big Gen X candy, but they out here. It got found. Okay.
Wow.
Let's jump into hair. So ponytails or pigtails? One has to go.
Now that's just not fair. You can't say one has to go. I think I refuse to answer this question.
I agree. I think they're both necessary depending on the environment.
You gotta.
But I guess personally to, well, the thing is personally to my life, I'm somebody who switches up my hair so much. So it would be hard for me to choose. It's not like I'm a bitch that wear my hair the same every day. If I was one of those, I might be inclined to give you
an answer. All right, so I'll give y'all a pigtails. I'll give y'all one skip. There are three questions in this category. You can only use one skip, and I'm going to tell you that this is probably the easier of the other questions.
All right, I pick pigtails.
You said one has to go? No, because I feel like then you would never have Afro puffs. I'm going to choose this one as my skip. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay. The next one is waves or fades.
Definitely. Waves. Definitely. Fades got to go. I love to see some hair swimming, and you don't really see that a lot often. Like, it's like niggas gave up on waves or something.
That's crazy, but because I feel like all of my guy friends have waves. They all just still have.
I don't know anybody with waves. I don't know anybody.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they're lacking in the hair department.
Well, waves take work, and I feel like people at this point are very much so lazy. But I do, and fades are cute. We love a good fade now. I'm not gonna lie. Like, it's tough. That's tough. But I do love to see waves swimming. But also, it's the sign of a pretty nigga. So I don't.
What?
I done slipped and slid into something.
The last question is braids or bangs. One has to go.
Bangs.
The bangs. Get out of here. You can't get rid of braids. What? That's the culture. Easy.
Okay.
Bangs.
Okay.
Gotta go.
Our last.
Even though I love bangs.
Is movies and TV. First question, one has to go Drumline or You Got Served?
You tripping, but You Got Served gotta go. Bye. And not y'all have the surprise faces. Tell them how you really feel. See, for me, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. Drumline was for the culture. The band that did Drumline, I was actually in that band. There's no way that I could live my life. And Drumline.
You Got
right.
Served just didn't but give.
You Got Served was a good dance movie. Don't get me wrong. It was a great, great dance movie. But at the time that Drumline came out, I was a band dancer. So I resonated more with that, most definitely. I was a huge B2K fan. Do not get me wrong. But them niggas can't act. Moving forward, they can dance. And that was the great part of that movie. But as a whole, it didn't speak to me. Now, Nick Cannon, you can definitely say what you want to say about his shoddy acting, especially in Drumline, but everybody else pulled up in that movie. And he did his thing too. He had a charm about him in that movie. So yeah, You Got Served, gotta go. Sorry, B2K. I love y'all though, for life.
All right, the next one is Superbad or Project X. Which one has to go?
What's Project X?
I was going to say the same thing.
Dog, are you serious? Project X was the time that the kid's parents went on vacation and he had this huge neighborhood party. The cops got called. There was helicopters. It was the craziest. And it was actually based on a real event.
I think I have seen that movie. Project X, gotta go.
I gotta watch this tonight.
Oh my gosh. I can't, I can't even.
Am I a millennial?
What?
that was the movie. He had like a pool. They had a pool, right?
Yes, he had a pool. They had
and the somebody, did somebody jump off the roof?
In it. Like,
did somebody jump off the
yes,
roof of the pool?
Yes, it was wild.
Okay, I've seen that movie. It was a wild movie, but I'm still going to have to say Project X has to go because Superbad brought us, what is old dude, Seth Rogen's protege, even though he's older than Seth Rogen. What's our dude name? Jonah Hill. So Superbad, and even though Jonah Hill was also in, he was in 40-Year-Old Virgin, which I just rewatched the other day because Blake hadn't seen it. Passport Poppy hadn't seen 40-Year-Old Virgin, and I was like, what? And Jonah Hill popped up in that shit too. So I feel like because we got Jonah Hill from that movie, it that was like his breakout role. We needed him. So yeah, sorry, Project X gotta go.
All right, next, Legally Blonde, Devil Wears Prada.
No, you
did. That's a skip for me.
You don't get no skips in this category.
First of all, wait a minute. I thought the skips were okay across the board.
No, I was only giving skips for hair.
It's okay, I'm just going to go really quick. I'm going to say Devil Wears Prada, classic movie, amazing. But Legally Blonde for me has personally motivated me to be a bad bitch. Happy people don't kill their husbands and orphans. Like,
Shannon.
This is tough because Legally Blonde, Elle Woods, she's an icon. She honestly is an icon. That's a bad bitch. The musical was off the chain. And but it's like Devil Wears Prada, the fashion side of me. Y'all know I have this fashion, you know, heart. And Devil Wears Prada gave us so many other iconic moments, i.e., why isn't anyone ready? And lots of other great things. Ooh, that's a tough one. I really want to skip on this one. Hold on. Well, let me create a diversion. What about you, Robert? What do you think?
For me, they both could go. I mean, I mean, they were interesting movies, but they weren't like phenomenal to me. I guess like maybe.
Wow.
Devil Wears Prada was a little bit more grown up, in my opinion, but. I don't have any personal attachments to either of these movies, but I know y'all did, so.
Okay, well, I hate to say this, but I feel like for the culture.
Why is no one ready?
It's like, which one has to go? That's tough, but I'm just going to go in the order they were, because I feel like Devil Wears Prada, we did love that. We did. I don't know if we needed it. I feel like Legally Blonde really advanced movie culture. It advanced, you know.
Did it do all of that?
It did. So I'm sorry. Devil Wears Prada gotta go, even though I love Meryl Streep as Miranda Priestly. We love Anne Hathaway in her breakout role. Got to give kudos to them, but yeah, got to go.
Okay, okay. Next, Jerry Springer or Maury? One has to go.
Oh, shit. Sorry. So growing up, we were so much in my household. This is a shame to say, me and my dad, this was our guilty pleasure. We used to watch it together and just not tell my mom. We used to watch Jerry Springer together. So Maury got to go. Sorry. We was not into the baby daddies and the.
I was going to say Maury was really bad for the culture. So, I mean, they both were.
It was bad for the
culture. But I feel like Jerry Springer wasn't so fixated on Black culture. Anybody could have got it. Anybody could have ate on there. As opposed to Maury, I feel like Maury was really trying to degenerate culture. And so, yeah.
Maury wasn't shit. But Jerry Springer, I feel like there was a lot of obscure things that went, like the storylines were out of control. And it really kind of, I feel like, opened me up to like this underground world of like, yo, people are doing crazy ass shit out here. So, yeah, Maury got to go. Sorry, Maury.
The next one, Barbershop or Two Can Play That Game?
Two Can Play That Game can go.
Yeah.
What you think?
I see you. This would have been a difficult question for me. I don't know. I probably would have. I guess Two Can Play That Game got to go. Yeah, I feel you. The last one of these three, one of them has to go. Put an echo on that. Go, 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 go.
I got you.
The Best Man, The Wood, or Love and Basketball?
You ain't shit. But I'm going to definitely... The Wood got to go. The Wood has to go.
How y'all going to get rid of The Wood?
because I feel like the best man advanced after that. And we wouldn't, and it, first of all, let's get into this. Let's rewind, because the next episode we're gonna have Black on the Moon TV, so we're gonna talk a little bit more about that. But if y'all haven't seen The Best Man, the final chapters, y'all need to watch that shit, because it was giving, and I'm not somebody who gives compliments when they're not due. That shit is giving, so definitely check that out. I believe Best Man Final Chapters is on Peacock. So if you don't have Peacock, find a way to get that shit, because it's good. And yeah, so you have those. You have the Best Man Saga. And then also you have, you said The Best Man, The Wood,
and what was the other one? Love and Basketball.
And Love and Basketball is such a classic movie. You cannot, from the soundtrack to, you know, the relationship to the dialogue to just everything in that movie is so iconic. Sorry, The Wood was good, but The Wood can go. I see you disagree, Rob.
It's a disappointment. The Wood can never go anywhere, ever, 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 ever. Best Man got to bounce. Love and Basketball is everything. But that's what I got today for today's way back. Thank you guys for participating.
Wait. I got one more. Hold on, wait. Do you know you love to do this? So I got one more. You've inspired me. And this one might not be for you, Rob, but I feel like me and Awade are on the same page right now. So I'm just going to throw this out there and I'm going to see what you say if y'all have seen these movies. So one gotta go. It's only two of them. A Walk to Remember or The Notebook. You seen both of them?
The Notebook gotta go.
Ooh, that's a hard one. Mandy Moore did her motherfucking shit, but Rachel McAdams, I'm just saying.
A Walk to Remember. There's no way.
A Walk to Remember, like, really emotionally and I read traumatized both. Me. Yeah,
it did.
Like, I feel like, yeah, that movie. Why did you even bring that memory back into my mind?
Let me tell you, because you know, Passport Poppy and I were talking about shows that we love. We were talking about Emmy nominations and people who need them, and Mandy Moore, that bitch. Now, you want to talk about somebody who came out of the 2000s winning, like, under the radar? Mandy Moore. And the fact that Mandy Moore has been on This Is Us, which I've watched the whole thing, and I mean, the tears, just so many tears. For her to be able to play her character throughout so many different generations is fucking sick. She plays an old lady, a young, vibrant lady, a mom. Like, she has so much range. And it started for me with A Walk to Remember and that soundtrack. I mean, she's so talented. And so I'm going to say that though The Notebook was amazing, and I read the book too, The Notebook got to go. Peace. And let's give Mandy her Emmy this year, please. And thank you.
All right, then.
And sorry that I had to add that.
It's all good. It's all good. That was a good one. So, yeah, that's all I have for the way back today. Thank y'all for participating. And it's time to jump into mental health and society, where we're going to talk about dating.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
All right, guys, so we're going to jump into our mental health and society segment today, which I'm very excited about. We are going to talk about the dating application, a series of questions that is designed to help you identify your perfectly compatible partner.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. A lot of times when people are dating, they kind of waste that beginning chit-chat, being cute and stuff like that, when that really is the perfect time to build a solid foundation of understanding where you both come from. Cute stuff is always welcomed, but you're wasting your cuteness if 6 months down the line you realize there were some deal breakers that you should have addressed earlier. So let's start off with setting intentions. One of the first questions that you want to ask someone is, are they seeing or involved with anyone? Do not assume that because a person is dating, they're perfectly single. And if you don't want to come off too forward, a fun way to ask that is, how single are you right now? Okay, so good, fun way.
Oh, I like that. I like that, because I'm very much so that person that will be like, wait a minute, before I flirt with you, are you single? I am very much so that person. And people will be like, yes, but then you find out later, it's like, wait a minute. you got a situation. Right. Like, you were not forthcoming.
Their idea of single could be different. So asking how single are you right now opens up conversations to what type of emotional intimate ties that person has with other people. Followed by, so another telltale sign of a person's intentions when they meet you is, where did you guys meet at? What was the environment that you met at? Did you meet online? Did you meet at a club? Did you meet at church? Did you meet at a bar? So a good question to guide that is, are you new here? Find out how often the person frequents this space. Get a temperature of how much they frequent this location or area. Learn how comfortable they are with this scene and environment. And depending on where you guys met, it should tell you a good deal about what they're looking for from the general public. Make sense? Also, following that, do not be too afraid to ask someone flat out, what kind of connection are you looking to have? What kind of interaction are you looking to have? And asking these questions in the beginning is the best, before someone actually gets to know you, because you're more likely to trust their answers. Because once somebody knows you, you wonder if they're just saying what, you know, you want to hear, quote unquote. So yeah, make sure that you're super upfront with those things. And that's where we're going to set intentions. Next up is deal breakers. Yes, deal breakers. Talk about them. We all have deal breakers. Ask what they are. Ask, hey, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about financial success? How do you feel about sex? How do you feel about open ask these questions. And also, if you don't want to just flat out ask it, you could bring it up as a leading question, like, hey, one thing that's really important to me is this. How do you feel about that? Or what are your thoughts on that? That's a really good way to kind of draw some information out of people. And do not forget to ask what their deal breakers are, because you could very well be someone's deal breaker. Deal breakers,
not
don't
your
mean
whole
that
person.
You're good or bad. You
not
could be
you as a whole person.
Deal breaker. You could be someone's whole deal breaker. So ask them. Ask them that question. Now, we all have heard how important communication is in relationships. In my digging and diving, I found that there is one very important factor that goes completely unaddressed when it comes to communication and relationships. Learning style. You need to know how someone learns. You need to know how they process and retain information, how they connect certain things. You have to know that. You need to know, are they an audio person? Can they just hear something and just get it? Or do they need to physically see it happening? This is going to help a lot when you're trying to set your boundaries. When you need someone to know what it is that you like, what it is that you don't like, this is a learning process for that. Just saying it to them might not be enough. They might not be able to retain it that way. So find out their learning style. Is it audio? Is it physical, verbal, logical? Foodical, whatever it is, learn how your partner needs to retain information. That way you know how to communicate with them best. And you know what to look out when they're communicating with you.
That's big facts. That's big facts. Yes. The food got me, because honestly,
some people, food is a, like, some people,
Blake, that's Blake. That's Blake.
Yeah.
don't talk to Blake if he's hungry. He's not going to retain the information. Like, he's a totally different person. So I feel that.
Learn about that. What is it? What is that person's learning environment like? And there are some people that actually, the most time that they spend thinking about how they impact others is at like a dinner table, where there are some people who don't necessarily have that type of structure. So think about that. How does a person learn? Once you figure out, okay, I got a little zaza, you know, you got a little boo thing on your hands or whatever. The next thing is maturity. Maturity. That's important.
Spell it out.
If y'all have been listening to The Bridge, you know, maturity is a big deal for me. Awade, when she first came on here, she hit the nail on the head. Okay. Maturity is very important. My favorite way to ask someone about maturity is to ask the question, what were you like in high school? And I'm not necessarily asking to describe, like, to get a gauge of who they were. I want to know how they felt about who they were. So when I'm listening to someone express that, I'm like, okay, are they, what type of sentiments are they expressing? Are they remorseful? Is there some embarrassment? Because if so, that shows that the person has grown and evolved and they're like, don't look at that. I'm not that person anymore kind of thing. And that's a good thing. Or is it like, oh, in high school, I was, and they're like reliving it in such a proudful and exciting way. That can be an indicator that those old characteristics are still present in this person that you're speaking to. So be mindful of that. Come on, stay with me. We got like, we halfway done. I got y'all.
No, we with you. We with you. I'm sitting up in my yes. head thinking like, I'm embarrassed by my high school self. Okay.
Most people are hella embarrassed by my high school self. Yeah. Every time you're growing and maturing, you kind of are embarrassed about yourself even last year or some decisions that you've outgrown.
That's very normal.
But when you have people explaining who they were and constantly defending why that was okay, that's a red flag. Damn, I should have bought the red flag.
You have a real red flag.
I have a real red flag. When I was doing relationship talks in middle schools and high schools, I used to talk to the kids about what red flags are in terms of good touch, bad touch, pressure, da da da. And I had an actual flag. But yeah, so make sure you get that down. Once you get past all of that, now we got to talk about intimacy orientation. Okay? Pay attention, because some people consider this to be comfort with affection, love language, whatever it is. Whatever your tools are, use your tools. You need to understand how this person is intimately orientated. The reason why, especially if you're dealing with someone in their late 20s to mid 40s, that age group is most likely to comfortably revert back to old patterns, whether they were healthy or not. So, one good leading question, how is love and intimacy expressed in your family? Ask that question. Get a sense of what their communication language was when it comes to vulnerability and closeness, what types of patterns. This is also going to help you identify what a person can and cannot do for you. A person that has lacked experiences with physical touch or not necessarily comfortable. If you're a person that really need that and you're a very touchy-feely person, that this might not be the pot of greens for you, all right? You may need to go over to some cabbage because this ain't what you came here for. Another question, what are your strengths and weaknesses when it comes to the people you love? Okay, you want to specify the people you love because they, when people hear the word relationship or spouses, they compartmentalize that. But you want to think about how this person treats people in their lives and how this person wants to be better for people in their lives. The last question in this section you want to ask is, how do you handle problems and disagreements with the people in your life? You need this. When a person tells you a story of how they handled issues, you really need to pay attention, because this is how that person handles issues. Disagreements with the sister, the cousin, the auntie, the mother, this is where it plays out. A lot of people focus more so on what your last relationship was like. However, everyone has a very different idea of what their last relationship was like. So you want to focus on and start to notice patterns of how they interact with disagreements and problems within their families. And that will also help you assess a person's emotional intelligence. So that's a good space to gauge maturity and stuff like that as well. The last two categories are kind of like in the air. You want to start thinking about what someone's goals are for themselves, not for us, for yourself. You need someone that is personally invested in themselves, because if they are not, odds are you're going to grow to not respect that person.
Ooh.
You will not have esteem for that person. You will not have a call to action for that person. You will not prioritize them because they do not prioritize themselves. It may take years for you to get there, but the studies show that you're going to get there. Okay. First, when you're asking about goals, keep them short term. Keep them short term. You want to know what goals they're actively working on and thinking about. Where do you see yourself in the next few months? Where do you see yourself in 6 months to a year? Don't ask them, where do you see yourself a few years from now? Because those are not goals that they would technically be actively working on. So you want to make sure that these are short-term goals and it's goals for yourself, not for us. If all of your individual goals revolve around someone else, that is a red flag. That's not a good thing. You need someone who treats themselves the way that they want other people to treat them.
Rob, it's like you got these notes. I need you to send me these notes because it's like the things that you're talking about are things that I was literally thinking this morning while I, you know, had my personal bathroom time. I was just thinking like, yo, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Like, treat others the way you want to be treated. Like, it seems so simple of a concept, but it really is everything. And I feel like it's maturity, yeah. Like you said, maturity is being able to apply that to your life.
Yeah.
And you want to treat yourself the way you want people to treat you. If you want to be seen at a certain stature, you have to present that and you have to see it. That has to be a part of your mirror. That has to be a part of your esteem.
It's really deep. You know, I think, you know, I work with a lot of women and we're now in like getting in our mid-30s and these questions are like critical for women who want to have children, right? Because, you know, when we were in our 20s, yeah, thinking about kids was like years away. But now looking at the economy, looking at the just absolutely the magnitude of the society we're in, we have to have these conversations immediately. So what are you doing in the next 6 months? Because your financial situation, your dreams, your goals, like all these things, I could basically immediately tell if there's a red flag. If they're not at least clear about the importance of focusing on themselves and their development.
Absolutely. 10,000%. And if you are a person who you have not found a way to center yourself in your life experiences, this is not the time for you to date. Because when you are floating and you're numb to who you are, all of the things that you attach yourselves to, you're going to treat them like drugs. So when you are attaching yourself to a relationship, when you're disconnected with yourself, you're going to treat the relationship as if you're chasing a high. And that's what you're constantly going. That's the type of gratification you're going to look for in that relationship. So you want to be able to address your own voids and understand who you are as a 100% person before you go into setting requirements for some other people. And you can do this while in relationships, but you need to be mindful of your own individual journey as well as the journey that you have with your partner. Which brings me to the last question. How important is physical intimacy? Talk about sex. There are some very straightforward reasons people give for not being faithful sexually in their relationships. They're hurtful, yes, but they're completely straightforward. You need to know what is enough for this person when it comes to physical intimacy. And is that something you can commit to? So what y'all gotta say? What y'all, that's the application right there.
I love that. I think that's awesome. I would add one thing, which I'll talk about in the Astro Report, but I would definitely ask outright, are you open to therapy of any kind or healing? What is your journey with that? Because I think, I know personally for me, if it's an automatically closed door, I think that's just asking to unload trauma onto a load that we're trying to take off the trauma. So just absolutely. Like, what are your goals? Like, what are your views on therapy?
Oh, for real.
That's a what great are
your,
addition.
What's your self-care goals? Where's your mental health at? Where are you trying to get to? Because we all have unfortunately dated someone who trauma dumped, and I just met you 2 weeks ago, and it's like, you clearly need somebody to talk to, you know? So again, you don't want to use your person as drugs. You don't want to use your person as a device. You want to contribute and participate in the life of the person that you're dating with, but you can't participate if you can't even show up as you.
Yeah. So one of the things that you said that really resonated with me was being able to have, what really worries me is when I talk to somebody and they don't have that way to center themselves, because no matter what's going on in your life, because as an adult, we already established there are ups and there are downs. Sometimes there are, you know, times where you feel like you are 80%, 90% an adult and you're killing it. And there are other times where you feel like you are really failing. But I think that the common denominator in people who can bring themselves back up is having that place that you can go to center yourself, to refocus, whether that is meditation, working out, breath work, journaling, or all of the above. For me, it's all of the above. There are different outlets, but it worries me when I am involved with somebody who doesn't know what their way of centering themselves is, you know, because what I can't do is figure out what works for you. You know, that's a self-discovery thing. So it kind of is a red flag to me, like you haven't spent enough time with yourself. And you need to spend more time with yourself before you decide to spend time with somebody else. So that really resonated with me. And I'm glad that you brought these things up. It really is going to tie to the Red Light District segment today. So I'm really excited.
Yes. And even if, like, one thing you said is that you can't figure out what works for someone else. Even if you can, it needs to be clear that that is not your job to do so. Now, yes, there are some people who are a lot more sensitive to a person's being, soul, center, but it is still their responsibility to manage them. You know, regardless of whether you're gifted and talented to be able to pick that up or not, it's not your job to do so. And so there has to be a barrier where responsibility is clearly assigned to this person. Otherwise, either they're going to get comfortable and consistently expect you to read their mind, or you're going to get sick of them because you're going to feel more like a mother than a girlfriend.
And that's the thing that I get caught up in, because I'm so nurturing. It's in my nature to nurture people. If you know me, I'm very motherly, even though I don't have any children. And sometimes I feel like there's a pressure there when I'm dating people. I'm so encouraging, and you know, I'm giving you positive reinforcement and I'm encouraging you to center yourself and things like that, but I do not feel like it should be my job. And that is the statement that you said is something that I really struggle with, that natural instinct to nurture versus it being my job to nurture somebody. That there's a difference. And that's something that I'm trying to balance right now in 2023. New Year goals, hashtag goals.
Word up. So that's all I got for y'all for mental health and society. I'm going to blog about this. So check out robertstmichael.com for more information on topics like these. And we're going to go ahead and spin it to where are we going after this? I know we got a new structure. Is it?
The vital information section is next, and today we are turning that over to the Crystal Advocate, and she is going to share with us some things about 2022 that we saw in the stars and maybe a little bit of what we should be focusing on right now. So I'm going to give it away to Awade K.
And now, more vital information for your everyday life.
Thanks for having me, y'all. I was getting caught up in the holiday spirit. And I always know when I'm kind of going out of alignment because I stopped paying attention to where the moon is. So I lost where the moon was for about 4 days. And then I was like, oh, I'm about to come on here. I got to get together. And then that leads into hours of me looking at the stars and what's going on. But I always want to come on here and say thank you for having me. And also, astrology has changed my life for the better. And it's always been a resource tool for me to kind of detach from the daily emotions and struggles of life and understand I'm part of this bigger ecosystem, this huge, vast universe that we're learning more and more every day, and as above, so below. So studying the planets and their movement is just a good reflection tool to know what's going on around you, above you, below you. We're all connected. So 2022 was a year, I'm sure everybody is feeling like, we just ran a marathon and we need a rest stop. So I'm going to categorize the whole next year, astrologically 2023, as a resting and rejuvenation year. 2023, the universal number is 7. So this is really,
this is my favorite now.
I encourage everybody to get into the seven energy. So this is going to be about intuition. This is really going to be about recalling and reclaiming your space and your sense of self. And that's because we went 2020, 2021, 2022. I think most people are not realizing the after effects of being in lockdown in a pandemic, and it'll probably be another few years around 2028 when Pluto moves before people really, I think the science starts to really speak to, you know, they're slowly coming out with studies, but I would love to know what you think, Rob. But I think for the most part, we're still operating like we weren't just traumatized for several years. So astrologically in the side, we also can see that. So we're in Capricorn season, January. Okay. The next 3 weeks we're in Capricorn season and we are starting with Mercury retrograde. Retrograde started 3 days ago. So this is not the new year, new me time. I came on here last year and I told everybody that, but I want to emphasize, if you want to know what the stars are saying, they're saying, sit your ass down, just sit down and let your body integrate all the things that were processed over 2022. Capricorn season, This is cardinal energy, Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn. These are the four signs that are going to feel this energy the most intensely. But remember, we've got all 12 signs in our chart. So you want to pull up your astrology chart and you really want to study where the planets are and in what houses they're in. So you can know how these energies impact you personally. We're all impacted by this. So, you know, never get too married to your zodiac, your sun sign, because there's a lot going on your chart. So this is all about new beginnings. And this is really you're going to see this across society, politics, education, entertainment. All societal structures are going to go through kind of like a rebranding in 2023. And January is a universal eight number. So this is about money, karma. The next 3 weeks are really going to be bringing up old conversations. And this is a good time to check your money, honey. So instead of trying to figure out how to make $1 million, you need to figure out where your debt is. You need to figure out what needs to be positioned over the next few months so that when spring equinox comes on March 21st, the Earth's new year, you are refreshed and rejuvenated. So I always like to tell people January and February is like really the holiday season in terms of rest time, repositioning yourself. I think people think you're going to make intergenerational changes in a few weeks and months. And the astrology is just saying it's not time for that. It's not giving that. So this year is very interesting. We have several planets moving. So not all planets move often. Mercury moves Mercury will go in retrograde 4 times a year this year. So this is the first time. So the next 2 weeks, chill on moving, chill on doing anything that you weren't doing previous to the Mercury retrograde beginning. Okay. So if you got any contracts, any deals, just relax, wait until we get around January 18th onward to start any of that. So we've got Pluto, Saturn, and Jupiter. These are three planets that will be moving signs. Pluto only moves around every 20 years. This is the planet that's furthest away from Earth. And this is a generational. So basically a new generation is occurring in 2023. So all the trendsetters, all the style icons, this is going to be a really cool time to change up your style and become innovative in how you express yourself physically, internally. And Pluto's moving into Aquarius. So, you know, I'm Aquarius sun. My stage name is Aquarius moon. So I love me some Aquarius energy. So this planet hasn't moved since 2008. So I want you to think back in 2008. What was the vibe? All those energies.
First year of college. Mm-hmm. First year of college.
That's right. That was my first year of college. So thinking about that time and when it comes to how you've reinvented yourself, how you have come into yourself during that time, this is the next chapter of that. So if you were writing a book, maybe if that was your part one, this would be, you know, chapter two. And Aquarius is all about community energy. So this is going to be a time where if you're thinking about yourself and you're not thinking about being a part of a greater system, it's going to be a difficult year. So we really want to always think about, we are all stronger as individuals. So having that balance between being your authentic individual self in a community, in a group of people. Saturn moves every 2 or 3 years. Saturn's going to be moving. It's going to be moving into Pisces. So this is all about how we structure things in an unstructured world. Pisces is mutable water, no boundaries. So the test this year in many of the retrogrades will be, like Shannon was talking about earlier, can you uphold your boundaries? Because they will be tested. I want to echo that and say that loud and clearly. Your boundaries will be tested. That's because Saturn is a teacher. It's our master teacher. And Saturn basically likes to try people. You know, the energy likes to see, do you get the lesson? Let's revisit and revisit. That's basically what retrogrades are. Anytime a planet is spinning backwards, it's just double check in. Did you dot all your I's? Did you cross all your T's? When it comes to your inner healing. And then Jupiter. Jupiter moves once a year. Jupiter is going to be moving into Taurus in May. So it's giving this springtime is going to be very opulent. It's going to be very beautiful. It's going to be springtime. And again, that's the time we want to come out and maybe restructure some new projects. That's the time you want to launch a new business. You want to be with the nature. Right now, all the trees don't got their leaves. The trees are sleeping. But the trees, the leaves fell in the fall so that she could feed herself in the wintertime. So again, you will be challenged during this time if you have not been sustaining your health. That's why we have colds during this time. If you have been giving a little bit too much energy to your family, again, you're going to feel that draining energy right now because, again, we're supposed to be resting. So I want to encourage everybody to rest. Saturn's also going to say, and Jupiter brings blessings. So we like when Jupiter moves because Jupiter usually means some blessings, some monies, some opportunities. So again, springtime, that's when things really start to pop off. The moon's nodes are changing. So this is all about your destiny, your karma, and what you're striving for. That happens in summertime. So I'm just giving you quick splurges of like what you can expect with the energy, and every planet in 2023 will go retrograde. So that means communication issues will be tried and your mind will be tested. Okay. Mars is going retrograde in January. Actually, this is all about action, sexual tension. You're going to feel all that right now. So again, don't run to act, baby. Just relax. Okay. When it starts to get around July, August, you can start to turn up again. That's when a lot of planets go direct. And then, you know, you'll have a lot more clarity about this beginning part of the year. But the first 3 weeks of January, it is imperative that you rest. All the revisit, recuperate, rejuvenate. All the things that your body needs to nourish itself from the last year so that you can enter the springtime, the new year, astrological new year, with stronger intentions, more clear intentions. And I just also want to echo to the mental health. A lot of people's mental health go awry around this time. We tend to lose people around this time. You know, there's a lot of death. So it's very, very important that you are taking out that extra time. You know, your boss might look at you crazy if you need an off day or two, but it's a good time to take that rest and to give yourself the emotional nourishment that you need to take on a new year. A lot of things is going to happen. You know, they say the veil's coming down. So a lot of truths are coming to light. People are able to express themselves more authentically. So this is the year to come out of the closet if you still hide in. But you got to make sure you're armed and prepared.
Okay. It's given trials and tribulations, but be unbothered.
It's given valleys, you know, peaks and valleys. It's given
peaks and valleys like regular life.
Just like I said, all the planets are retrograde. Everybody's going to go through tension, uncomfortable conversation, you know, the daily things of life. But those things are so much more, I think, palatable when you're sure of yourself. Like you said, you know yourself, you know your purpose, you know why you're here, you know the light that you can contribute to the world. So I think more people need to spend more time alone within themselves and their heart to give themselves the time and space to even figure out what they like, who they are, how they want to express themselves in the world. Because we need more people that are brave enough to be themselves in the light so that we can make the light bigger.
Agree. And because it's like we've been saying, it's all about that collective enlightenment, making that light bigger so that it shines on everyone. And first of all, the report is always on time. Because it's always on time. I feel like it's always relevant. And this is why I'm like, if you don't really fuck with astrology, like it's to me, you're purposely ignoring what's written in the stars. Because once you get into it, it makes so much sense.
I have to just, I'm Aquarius. I'm a little tech nerd. So there's this new software. I don't know if any of y'all tried it, ChatGPT, I don't know. But anyway, she's an AI technology. It's like shutting down Google right now. And essentially, she's like a robot. You could talk to her and she can do remedial things. She can write like a really good fourth grader. But for an example, like I had to make like a pamphlet in Canva and something that would typically take me 2 hours. I did in like 15 minutes. Anyway, interesting. I asked her to tell me about the 2023 astrological report. And she told me basically that was out of her pay level, pay grade. And it was not something she was privy to discuss. So I just want to say that if the AI don't feel comfortable talking about it, clearly maybe we need to be paying attention to it. That's all I'm going to say.
They, first of all, they're hip and they know that none of this shit is coincidence. You already know. If y'all want to actually get into some like, you know, some interesting shit dealing with space and the stars and what the American government does know, I'm going to need you to check out this guy on YouTube. He has a channel called The Y Files, W-H-Y Files, W-F for short. And he really gets into a lot of the controversy around the moon and like a lot of conspiracies about that. He gets into a lot of like, you know, classified rumored NASA projects and different stuff like that. And I think it's all connected. It's really interesting. So if you kind of want to dive into that, hit up the Y Files. But yeah, I do feel like, and a lot of people don't fuck with astrology. A lot of people let their astrologers do it. Some people are like, I don't really believe in all that stuff. That's fine. It's affecting you regardless. So it's good to at least, I think, educate yourself on how you can use your chart to get to know yourself better. And you know, hit up the Crystal Advocate. You need to be on Owade's Instagram. And I feel like we should bring her back again this season because, like, in the springtime, because it's very relevant.
Part two for spring equinox.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Come back for the equinox. I have a question for Owade, though, because I followed your advice from last year. I am a cardinal sign, dating another cardinal sign. And that other cardinal is a Capricorn. And I'm gonna need a little weather report from my area.
Okay.
If you will.
First of all, mature. Okay. I think everybody needs to know, not in a stalking way, but in like, like a learning style. Let me understand my partner's preferences so that I can have a better time understanding when this person might go out of character. Maybe there's a little background story. So I think I'm a good person to ask because I have a Capricorn stellium in my chart. I have 6 planets in Capricorn. So, you know, I might be Aquarius sun and Cancer moon, baby, but I'm really Capricorn girl all day. Okay. Capricorns care about one thing. Okay. It's about the status, honey. They care about their family and they're an earth sign. They're rooted in reality. So sometimes being too woo-woo for them can be very triggering. And Capricorns want to take care of their family. At the inception of like, so at a subconscious level, they care about their earthly family. They want to make sure their people are good. Now, sometimes this can cause extreme overworking. This can cause the ego to do a little too much because, again, a lot of the identity is placed on the external world, other people, and not so much themselves. So Capricorns tend to have self-care issues. Like they need to be reminded to care for themselves. They need to be reminded to go to sleep, reminded to brush their teeth, constant reminders. And again, it's because we know at a subconscious level, they want to make sure they're good. Everything's put together. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're super organized or super on it, but they're spirit wants their family to be good, whoever that family might be, whether soul family, blood family, their partner. It's kind of like a little bit of people pleasing might even happen with them because I need to say what needs to get said so I can do good job at work. I need to say what needs to be said so my partner will just get out of my face instead of coming head on with the conflict and addressing the real root issues.
Word. I felt that 10,000%.
Have patience.
You said that Mars is about to go in retrograde now, and I'm an Aries, and I have no water in my chart anywhere.
It's important for balance, okay? It's super important for your partner to know that. I think more important, it's important for you to know, obviously, but I think it's very important for your partner to understand if the water is lacking, that doesn't mean emotional intelligence is lacking. It might just mean you do not express yourself in the traditional ways water signs do, which water signs are crying, that, you know, that it's a, it might be a really dramatic. As for you, you might have a whole world going on inside and it's very hard to read you on the external world. So your partner can't take that personal.
Do you think that Mars going in retrograde is going to intensify that? And yes. How do I like navigate?
Yes, heart chakra has to be open, fully open. And I think when Mars is about our like animalistic instincts. So again, sometimes this is above us, above our own pay grade, right? In terms of when our nervous system is triggered. When I think of Mars retrograde, I think stabilize your nervous system. Go out of your way to stay calm. Go out of your way to communicate. This isn't the time to talk about this. Go out of your way to say, I know you're joking right now. You know, overly communicate during this time about your needs. Not overly communicate about anything, but overly communicate what will soothe your nervous system. That's kind of what I like to come back to. Of, I've been telling my partner recently, when I just don't have patience, he's a Scorpio, a lot of water. My partner has a lot of water. I have been saying my nervous system is activated and not in a good way. So I just think we need to pause. And I've noticed that saying that has triggered a response in him to make him be like, oh, I'm like, because when you say that, it's like, oh my God, I'm like shaking her nervous system. That's how it feels internally when I'm triggered. So if I think instead of being like, I'm triggered, then we can go down these ego paths of why are you triggered? So when Mars is retrograde, we don't want to push people past their limit, because I want to acknowledge we're coming out of like a generational traumatic event, which was lockdown. So a lot of people's nervous systems are unsettled. So that means on the highway, people are going to be beeping at you for no reason. That means at the store, people are going to have an attitude. They're, you know, and this is not looking at the negative part of life. It's just having the emotional intelligence to understand the energy in the atmosphere. We live in society, so we got to deal with other people's emotions. So instead of taking everything personal, I know, child, is the energy. And I have to move with more grace. I have to go out of my way to give people the benefit of the doubt. Because I know blessings are coming, blessings are here, opportunities are here. But if I'm not open to receive them because I'm caught up in someone else's emotions, I might miss the train. I might miss my blessing.
That makes so much sense. And I really feel that, because when you said your nervous system is triggered, well, my Mars is in Cancer, and as well as my Venus. My Venus is also in Cancer. And, you know, it triggers me. Like, I'm triggered emotionally, especially like over the last 3 days, particularly. I have been just really emotional as far as it comes to things that trigger me. Like, it's been the tears, the water. And it's just something that I can't. And Rob seems surprised, but it's because, you know, a lot of people don't see that side of me. I think that with my Gemini sun and my Virgo moon is giving very intellectual, is giving very much so organized and grounded. But on the inside, I'm a big, like, it's giving gooey mess. It's giving
gusher. It's giving this year. People need to see that vulnerability. It's giving. We need to see that. If that's what you're really feeling, the girls need to see it, because I think I'll speak for myself as a Black woman. I think people think I don't bleed sometimes. Like, I don't know what they think I'm made of, but that I don't have emotion, that I'm not sensitive. So,
oh, it's giving robot. People think I'm a robot, yeah. Which I think is super interesting. I think that if you are really close to me, which only a handful of people are, like a few people, you got like Blake, you know what I mean? He's somebody who sees me cry all the time. I will cry off the most random shit, but it's just like, I really, you know, feel a certain way about doing that, because I feel like the walls that I've put up, and I've said this before, the walls that I've put up are from experience and there to protect me from the world as a Black woman. You know what I mean? And sometimes being vulnerable, it can be a bad thing. So it's a double-edged sword, because it's like, if you're not vulnerable, you are a robot. They think you can take anything and they throw anything at you as a result. And then on the other hand of things, when you are vulnerable, it's like, okay, now it's giving victim. victim. So, you know, there is that balance. But I do feel that. I feel like this year I am ready to shed another layer and let people in on who I am. You know, I think it's so interesting. There was a situation that happened and I started to cry, and someone, you know, said to me like, wow, this is the most emotion I've ever seen from you. And it was shocking to hear. It was shocking for me because I'm in my body living my emotions. You know what I mean? But I guess in my active way of trying to hold my emotions back, like, I guess I was doing a pretty fucking good job. But it shocked me to hear that. So I think that it is important to kind of like rest in a lot of my water this year. That's one of the things I want to do. And I hear you when you say like relax and like flow, you know? So that's one of the things that I'm trying to get more in tune with, because I do have that strong water in my chart as well.
I said about the nodes, but they're going to be in Aries and Libra. Robert, you talk about your Aries. This is kind of like balancing the individuality of like standing in your truth, but then also merging in union, whether it's an intimate connection or it's with your career or it's with your family or it's with your neighborhood. Again, like that Aquarius energy, trying to figure out where is my place. And being able to take up space while you're on that journey. You know what I mean? So a lot of people don't want to see you cry because it makes them uncomfortable, because if she's the one that's perfect, if, you know, Rob's perfect, got it together, you know, has all this information, is so smart. Well, if you're not keeping it together, what does that say about me? Because I realize as we evolve, you know, we start to be role models for people in the sense of taking accountability for your life. So I think it's important for people to see strong people be human and experience a range of emotions beyond, you know, hustler and intellect, which is what we do so well.
Agree. And I'm going to say that I'm going to throw that, not that they're listening, but I'm going to also throw that to celebrities as well, because I feel like the people who everyone is watching as a culture, because obviously, you know, there's a handful of people listening to us and we know the people that we know and we have, you know, influence over. Like, I feel like all of us in our individual rights are like micro influencers, but you know what I mean? Because we all have a lot of stuff going on in social media. But I think at the root of it, the people that are on display for everyone to see, you know, we want to see them be vulnerable. And like, even with the whole Megan Pete thing, Megan Thee Stallion, like, you know what I mean? She cried on the stand about how hard it was for her. And, you know, the juxtaposition is she's giving you all these rap lyrics and she's delivering this in a hard way, but there was a lot of pain on her album. And, you know, it was very difficult for people to humanize her, and people absolutely demonized and villainized her for being vulnerable as a Black woman. And so that's the type of thing that scares me from being vulnerable, is that when people who look like me are vulnerable in the media, that's what happens to them. When they tell their truth, you know, when we speak their truth. So there is obviously a bigger conversation that needs to be had, but I feel that.
It's the year for healing. It's the year for mental health really becoming more accessible and something that I think is rooted in more conversation. Like, I think in the dating world, it's so imperative to have a partner that's willing to seek healing in whatever way. I don't care if they want to go do ayahuasca in Peru and go talk to a shaman. They want to, whatever resonates with their spirit, people taking accountability for their life is going to make the world's frequency evolve, right? In whatever capacity they do it. So I think it's going to be a lot of amazing moments in 2023, but I think a huge thing to take away is that the more you address your mental health, your emotional and spiritual holistic well-being, that's almost kind of like the only job you have on this life and in this experience. We get really caught up in our jobs and our goals and our dreams, and all of that is beautiful. But really, our only job on this planet is to be our most truly authentic self and move from a space of love. That's how we're hardwired to love, or not hardwired to hate or to be violent. I think it's tendencies that we can get comfortable in because there are external rewards like money and power you can get from cutting corners or using people. But at the end of the day, the average person just wants to live a peaceful life. But I think being at peace with yourself is a lot harder said than done. So this year, I think there are stages. Like I said, I think between now and 2028, I advise all people to invest in their holistic well-being, their mind, their body, their spirit, their community. There's people that will live a very long life, and we don't know, we never know when we're going to leave off this earth. But one thing we do know is people remember how you make them feel and the impact you had on them. So I think, you know, for a lot of us, we want, you know, especially millennials, we want instant gratification. But to be honest, nobody's coming to save us. You see how the baby boomers are treating the economy and inflation going up. It's really kind of us left. And I think we're still very young. So no rush to get to where we want to go. I think a lot of us grew up in very similar environments with our home family. We're all dealing with healing our mother and father wounds. If you haven't done that, explore that, you know, because so that you can have loving relationships in your life. So this is a year to just the whole year, recuperate, reinvest, rejuvenate. In the later timelines, 2024, when the election starts to pop off, yeah, maybe get back up, start getting a little frisky. But this year, let your nervous system be the indicator of your success.
Thank you so much for that, Owade. That was exactly what we needed to hear. And a little bit of that paying attention to your nervous system will come in handy during the sex and dating segment. So let's go ahead and jump into our last segment. And y'all let us know how y'all like this new format. The Red Light District. Let's get into it.
I like that.
I want to be touched. Feeling so much because everybody needs some good loving.
Yeah, if I need it in the morning or the middle of the night,
I have to find the bed.
So today for the Red Light District, we are going to... You know, Rob, you were right on time with the dating for the mental health segment, because we got to talk about some really bad dating habits that we got to leave behind in 2022. So,
a little louder for the people in the back.
So we have 5 terrible things that we want to leave behind in 2022. Do not bring this bullshit into 2023, y'all. Okay. Do not bring this bullshit into 2023. This goes really hand in hand with a lot of the things that Owade just gave us. So let's get into it. 5 millennial dating faux pas we're leaving in 2022. Do not bring that bullshit into 2023, y'all. I'm for real. All right. Number 1, ghosting. Okay. Now, if you want to know, because I was interested to see where this term actually came from, but it's a toss up. We kind of don't know, but it was popularized in the 2010s, which are what do the Australians call them? The noughties. Or the aughts, the noughts, I can't remember. But regardless, the tabloids kind of brought this up because there was a certain celebrity was like, some celebrity couple, somebody ghosted their husband. But basically, ghosting is when someone stops responding to your messages and disappears from a relationship without explanation, usually in the context of dating. The term can also be used for any situation where a person abruptly stops communicating or showing up, such as when a friend starts ignoring your text or when an employee just stops showing up to work without ever formally quitting. So, according to clinical psychologist Carla Marie Manley, PhD, and by the way, I got this information on ghosting from mindbodygreen.com, the lack of closure from ghosting can trigger feelings of uncertainty, confusion, anxiety, and even reduced self-esteem in the person being ghosted. In general, ghosting is disrespectful and tends to perpetuate patterns of dismissiveness and avoidance. So y'all, do not bring that shit into 2023. If you don't know if you've been ghosting somebody or if you're being ghosted, I'm going to give you a few examples of what ghosting looks like. So number one, if they're or you are ignoring or choosing not to respond to someone's text or emails indefinitely, So you don't have a time limit of when you're going to respond. Leaving
indefinitely for me.
Indefinitely. Indefinitely. Okay. Next, leaving someone's text messages on read forever. Going on a date with somebody and then never speaking to them again, like despite them trying to follow up with you. Unmatching someone on a dating app in the middle of a conversation without explanation. That counts as ghosting too. No longer responding to a friend or someone you've been talking to regularly, even when they reach out to you multiple times trying to get in touch with you. So these are all like a given. But then, you know, you get into some more subtle ghosting techniques, like suddenly cutting off all communication with someone after dating for months or even years, intentionally responding slowly, like briefly, non-committally to texts so they eventually stop reaching out. It's like you're trying to give somebody a subtle hint. You kind of just like drop off of the communication slowly and strategically. Or setting up a date with somebody and just not showing up. That's, you know, plain standing somebody up. No explanations, no follow-ups, no apologies. So y'all get it. Y'all know what ghosting is. Stop doing that shit. In 2023, it's important to communicate and to do it effectively, because one thing that I think the internet generation makes us forget is that these people just don't disappear from the face of the planet. Okay. You might have mutual friends. You might see them again. They might be somebody that you need to go through to get the job that you wanted or your dream job. You just never know. Communication is really important. So I'm going to encourage everyone to communicate what they're going through. If you feel like it's not a right time to date somebody or you're just not feeling the energy, be honest with them. Okay. Number two, dating for potential. We got to stop doing this in 2023, y'all. Stop dating for potential. Okay. According to Grotto.com, there are 5 signs that are going to help you out to let you know that you might be dating someone for what they could be and not who they are. Okay. 1, you often find yourself teaching them. Okay. You don't want to be somebody's teacher or mother, like we just talked about. So if you're finding yourself teaching somebody too much, you might be dating them for their potential. You're ignoring red flags. Rob, where that red flag at?
And for the guys, there's a difference between being daddy and the father figure. There's a difference. Learn it.
Big facts. Another sign that you might be dating for potential. You don't like who they are right now. Like you're like, in a couple years, they're going to be somebody I would really like, but you don't like who they are right now. Please know that they may never change. So assume that who you are is who you get. Okay. If you are looking for somebody who has the qualities that can grow or nurture a relationship, then you have to pay attention to stuff like that. Okay. Number 4, you fantasize about the perfect version of your relationship. You know, a lot of times we think about what the future could be and what it could be. But the one thing about the future is that it never comes. There's only ever the now. So y'all remember that. And another way is you're disproportionately afraid of losing them. Okay. If you feel really scared, if you feel like without them, you don't know how your life is going to go on. Okay. That's panic setting in. There's a reason why you feel panic like that. And most likely the reason is that this is not the person for you. And you already know you're wasting time and your body's trying to tell you, and you just don't want to listen. You're ignoring the red flags. So y'all stop dating for potential in 2023. We're not doing that no more. Number 3, love bombing. And love bombing is so interesting because when this happened to me, there wasn't really a term for it. So let's get into love bombing. Love bombing is defined as when someone in a relationship overwhelms the other person with loving words, actions, and/or behaviors as a manipulation technique, generally used to establish control over the other person in the relationship for the purpose of their own self-interest and personal gratification. So it's often linked, this behavior is often linked with narcissism and narcissistic abuse. So be really careful, because this one kind of slides. This one's one of the ones that can slide into abuse. Okay.
Wait a minute. Wait, that just blew my mind just now. So basically romantic gaslighting.
Get into it, because we're going to break this down a little bit. We need the sun, because we needed the signs. And again, where was this article? Like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, my last relationship. But this article came from the Mental Health Association in Delaware. But here are some of the signs to if you suspect somebody in your life might be love bombing you, here are some of the signs. If they give extravagant gifts. Now, there's nothing wrong with extravagant gifts. We love that. But if their gifts always seem to be over the top, expensive jewelry, clothing, vacations, and it starts to happen quickly after you meet this person, this might be a red flag. And sometimes once they give you the gift, they can demand the gift back in order to punish the person. So if they ever try to snatch a gift back from you, please be wary of that. Complimenting someone excessively. Compliments are great, and most people appreciate compliments and praise because they can be thoughtful and they make you feel good. But there is such a thing as too many compliments, okay? And if they're excessive and extreme, if they're professing their undying love for you one day after only a couple days of meeting and constantly telling you you're perfect, that is a red flag. For me personally, it means that they put you on a pedestal. So as soon as things start to not go their way, they're going to freak out. Constant communication. This is like the big one. This is like the big sign. Like, this usually consists of like calling, texting, messaging the person constantly, even if it's one-sided, like clocking you. Like, say you say, I get out of work at 3 o'clock, 3:01, here's the phone call. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. Like, you have to be careful. Not when these things are individually together, but when there are a couple of these signs, you know, in a row, you might have a love bomber. Undivided attention. The same note as wanting constant communication, they usually crave your undivided attention. And anybody who gets in their way of your attention, they don't like this person. Trust me, I've been through it. And then they make too many plans for the future. Like, it's cute to, you know, make plans for the future, but they tend to want to commit very fast. They might want you to move in. They might say want you to move to a different state with them. Like, y'all just be wary of this. Love bombers are out here and they bombing. All right, so y'all take cover. Number four thing that we are going to give up in 2023 is ignoring our intuition. This is very simple, okay? And kind of goes along with what Awade said about the nervous system. We have certain gut feelings that we're biologically designed to have that save our lives in dangerous situations. Animals have it. For example, they can predict like ominous weather, such as tsunamis. They'll start looking for cover. They'll start building shelter days in advance. Okay. These are things that are innately put in us to save our lives. So it reminds me of a book that I read by Malcolm Gladwell called Talking to Strangers, where he analyzed is the human habit of rationalizing. Our brain can sometimes work to our detriment because rationalizing can overpower what our bodies are telling us about a person or a situation that may be unsafe. And the same thing goes for relationships. So, for example, you might be dating somebody and your heart races when they say a certain thing, or, you know, like that same thing about when things start to go wrong and you have like a disproportionate fear of losing the relationship. Like, these are signs that your body is giving you to tell you that this might not be a good fit for you. And the last thing that we're going to leave in 2022, Rob, you were right on it, is gaslighting. Now, let me tell you about gaslighting, because gaslighting is a form of abuse. So you really have to be careful with gaslighting, okay? Because a lot of people don't even know this, but I got curious as to where this term came from. So here's a cute little story. Gaslighting stems from a 1930s play called Gaslight. And in the play, the main character is ultimately trying to convince his wife that she's going insane by dimming the gas lights in their home ever so slowly, while convincing her that the darkening house is all in her imagination. And later the play was adapted into a movie. But she's questioning her sanity, and her husband's lie is so convincing and so unwavering that she begins to believe that she is truly unraveling. And she becomes dependent on her husband to tell her to discern fact from fiction, while he confines her in the house for her own good, because of course she's going insane. So that's where gaslighting comes from, a play called Gaslight, which is really fucked up what he did to her. But that's the definition of gaslighting. It's, you know, in an intimate partner relationship, it's a manipulative abuse tactic where a survivor begins to question their own reality. This is done by the abuser questioning facts, denying memories the survivor has, undermining their judgment, and bullying them into believing the abuser's reality. Now, one thing that hit me when reading this is when somebody is gaslighting you, most likely there are other signs of abuse there too. And that might be, it overlaps. Gaslighting overlaps with physical, verbal, emotional, sexual, financial, and spiritual abuse. And to be honest, when I was gaslit by, you know, a previous partner, there was other abuse involved. Okay. So we're getting into abuse and it's a dangerous situation. So if you're ever being gaslit by somebody, it's important to analyze the situation and possibly get yourself out if it's a dangerous place for you. But those abusers, they also use a grooming process at the start of a relationship to set the survivor up to believe that they are trustworthy so that they can brainwash you. So those are the things we're leaving in 2022. Stop that shit. Cut it out. And that's all I have for the Red Light District. What y'all got to say about it?
That is required listening for all people dating. I think this episode in like unison with Rob's, like that required listening.
I love that required listening. Absolutely. And I like, there was a lot of gems dropped today. I hope that people walk away from them just really like paying attention and listening to what these things are and noticing the signs and all of this stuff, because when you start putting your feelings involved, I mean, it gets really crazy. And one note on like gaslighting and even just abusive people and manipulative people, there are levels to it. Some people, I don't ever want to call it innocent, but some people don't realize what they're doing and some people know exactly what they're doing.
Facts.
So you have to really make sure that you keep your eyes open and make sure that you're having that honest conversation with yourself. One of the worst things that manipulators, abusers, and gaslighters tend to do is get you to gaslight yourself. So you have to really not let it go to a place where you're starting to actually question the validity of your own thoughts and your own emotions and your own feelings. Another way to kind of remember and symbolize gaslighting is if you think of smoke and mirrors, like lights with smoke, like when you think of magic tricks and things like that, you can't see behind the smoke, but you see something's happening. So be very, very wary of that.
I totally understand that, what you're saying, Rob. Thank you for that addition. You know, everyone who gaslights you or maybe doing these things, they might not always be intentionally doing it. And that's why it's important for you to make sure that you know what the signs are. And like I said, when it's something like gaslighting, you need to look to see if there are other signs of abuse there. Because even though it's a narcissistic action, gaslighting, it doesn't always mean that the person you're dealing with is a narcissist. So keep that in mind. And I just want to thank you for coming out, Owade. This was an amazing episode. We're dropping gems. So I'm just saying, if y'all are not listening to this, what are you doing? This is the perfect way to start off your year. So
thank you for having me, y'all. I'm excited for a blessed and prosperous New Year's for all people. So get into the
let them know where they can find you.
Yes, yeah, please follow me on the Crystal Advocate. I like to drop positive words of affirmation and empowerment on there. I'm also coming out with a 2023 moon calendar on my Etsy store. So that'll be coming out in a few weeks. So you can pay attention to all the astrological dates and just be a little bit more on top of the weather in the sky, you know? Also, if you want some candles, hit up Aroma Vibes. She's cute.
Look, please, the candle is burning. We got the Aroma Vibes Co. candle right here in maple apple bourbon. These are like the best smelling candles. I'm not even like shitting y'all. These are the best smelling candles that I've ever had. So please support her other business and grab some candles. And Rob, can you take us out? Can you sign us out, homie?
Absolutely. Make sure that you guys hit us up everywhere. The Bridge Millennial Podcast on Instagram. We out here on those Instagram streets. Twitter, The Glitch Homie. We on those Twitter streets. Find us on Facebook, The Bridge Millennial Podcast. We on the Facebook streets. And then we also have a website, thebridgemillennialpodcast.com, where you can get all of our updates and stay up to date with us. If you're not following us, it's a problem. Shannon won't think it's a problem, but I'm going to think it's a problem. So, and turn them notifications on. Let us know what you thought of today's show. Be sure to rate the show. Give us a 5-star rating from any listening platform that you are listening from. And you can find me at Robert St. Michael on Instagram, as well as online, robertstmichael.com.
You can find me at IAM Shannon Ashlia, SHANNONASH. Let me say it again. ASHLIA. I don't know. People be saying Alicia all the time, but the S is first. So it's Shannon Ashlia. It's IAM Shannon Ashlia on Instagram. The S is most definitely first. So holla at me.
Perfect. Well, thank you guys for tuning into this episode. We will catch y'all in the next one. Make sure that y'all years are focused. Tune in for our next episode. We bring in
the next episode. We're going to the skies. We're taking it to space. We got the blastronauts. We got the black astronauts from Black on the Moon TV, and we're coming at y'all with some 2022 favorites and what we're looking for 2023 as far as TV and film. So y'all don't want to miss that. We'll holla back.
All right. Thank you for tuning in. Later.